Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
We are continuing with our series of teachings from our topic, which we said, Unveiling the Abundant Life. Amen. It's coming from John chapter 10, verse 10. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are trying to unpack this package. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we said we are going to do this by dwelling on the three cardinal gifts. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Last week we learned about eternal life. Today, we will continue to look at righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My prayer is that we develop righteousness consciousness. Because the body of Christ, the church, sometimes is more conscious of sin.
Amen.
Than it is of righteousness. Yes, we live in a sinful world, but Jesus did it for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to be more conscious of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I begin studying this subject of righteousness, I came across some very wonderful lessons that I learned. Because I got to know that God is the one who is righteous, number one. And the righteousness of God means that He is always right. God cannot make a mistake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God cannot make a mistake to the extent that if God says, this is a chair, you better believe it. Because when you blink your eyes, you see it will tend to be a chair. Because it's God who has said it. Because God is righteous. So God cannot make a mistake. So in other words, even if he makes a mistake, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even if he makes a mistake, it will be what he says it is.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So some people, you might think it's a mistake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If it is God involved, you will see them becoming what God has planned for them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So our teaching today is righteousness by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are righteous by faith. So it comes from Romans 3 verse 22. But before we come to that, this righteousness that we are talking about is not the righteousness that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 64, verse 6, which he labels as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. If we can go to Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. This is, I would call the children of Israel's righteousness. Before Jesus came. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he refers to that righteousness as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So we are not talking about that kind of righteousness. We want to talk about the righteousness by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 89 verse 14, David describes, I'm just sharing some initial thoughts on righteousness. David describes righteousness and justice and as foundations of the throne of God. So the throne of God, its foundation is righteousness and justice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the basis, that's the foundation of God's throne. Solomon talks about the benefits of righteousness in Proverbs 11. We'll read from verse 4 to 6. Let's just go through, just to lay the foundation. Proverbs: riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way. All right. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The last verse. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. So righteousness can deliver you. This righteousness that we are talking about is the quality of being right in the eyes of God. It includes character. That's your nature. Conscious. That's your attitude. And conduct in the way you act. So righteousness involves all areas of your life. Character must manifest the righteousness of God. Your conscience, that's what we are saying, we want to develop or create righteousness conscience. So that your first thought should be, you are the righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You are not a sinner. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you are not a sinner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Outside of Christ, indeed you are a sinner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, righteousness is based on God's standards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah 33 verse 22. Let's read Isaiah 33 verse 22. This righteousness we are talking about is based on God's standard. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. So if he's a king, he gives all the rules. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are going to look at an example of the standards that God has given us. We look at what Jesus said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Matthew 5, we will read from verse 20 to verse 26. We are going to look at heaven's standard of righteousness, because that's where we are dwelling. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. This is the sermon on the mount. One of Jesus's, I would say, maybe the classic sermon. He did teach quite a number of things. So we are just going to look at where he gives the standard of righteousness. This is Jesus saying, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jesus was telling the people, at that time, the Pharisees and the scribes were regarded as very holy, as very righteous. So Jesus is challenging the people and saying to them, unless your righteousness, now it's your righteousness, hallelujah.
Amen.
So this message is coming to you. Your righteousness should exceed. You remember, Jesus was always in confrontation with the Pharisees, and they did not like him. He brought in another level of knowing God. He brought in the truth, but they were rejecting the truth. So he's saying, your righteousness should be above what these Pharisees and scribes are doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because for them, it was more of an outward show. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Showing that they are godly outwardly. But inside, they were not godly. The next verse, we'll go up to verse 26, I think. You have heard that it was said in those of old. Now he's referring to the Old Testament. You shall not murder. And whosoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, now he's changing the standard now. He's revealing the standard. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So he's now raising the bar. From direct murder, he's saying, no, no, no. That measure is small. When you're angry, it's as good as murder.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the standard that Jesus is bringing.
Amen.
Shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger. So don't be careless with your words. Because this Raka is kind of a curse word. It belittles the other person. So I said, whosoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the cancel. But whosoever says, you fool, shall be in danger. Hallelujah. This is a high standard. He says, if you call your friend a fool, there's a danger of hellfire. Next verse. This is Jesus talking now. Therefore, if you bring your gift, he's still talking. If you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. By the way, if you have a grudge with somebody, when offering comes, don't offer. I urge you not to offer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go and reconcile first. Bring your offering next week. That's the standard of God. Verse 26. Okay, verse 25. I agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand over you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Verse 26. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is just an example of the God's standard. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, this righteousness, no wonder We can only have it by faith.
Amen.
We cannot attain it. They tried in the Old Testament, it didn't work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse, maybe let's start from verse 21. Romans chapter 3, from verse 21. So before we come to this scripture, Paul is talking about how it didn't work in the Old Testament. So when he says here, but now, mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word but means the story is changing.
Yeah. Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law. So the righteousness that was there before was tied to the law. You know the Ten Commandments, the laws that God gave to the children of Israel. And by the way, we were out of that because of the law, because it wasn't given to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now he says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all. Now, if it was the law, it was only to the nation of Israel. Now here, this righteousness is to all and on all who believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's just a matter of believing. Who believe? For there is no difference.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've done deliberately to show this verse. Because people are stuck on this verse. But do you see where we've come from?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, dwell on verse 22 instead of verse 23. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because verse 23 is just telling you the context, where it has come from, the reason why there is a righteousness by faith. Because we have all fallen short of it. We can't attain the standard. There's no way man can attain that standard.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So that is why there is a righteousness by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's your faith. It's your faith.
Yeah.
You obtain it by faith. It is not of works.
No.
No. It's by faith. The Bible says by grace we are saved. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is by faith. Tell your neighbor, you are righteous by faith. You see, that's the mind of God. That's what God thinks about you.
Yes.
But you are busy. A sinner. Belittling yourself. Devil just celebrates. Look at him. He doesn't know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why we prayed at the beginning that God should flood our eyes with light. Because this thing was there, but we didn't know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need some light to know what we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's also a distinction. I just want to mention a distinction between righteousness and holiness, because we tend to confuse the two.
Amen.
There are two. Remember, we've said righteousness is the foundation of God's throne. There's no mention of holiness there. So, righteousness is being acceptable to God. Genesis 6, verse 9. While, we'll look at both scriptures. While holiness is being set apart, So being accepted and being set apart are two different things. Hallelujah. That's why you remember in the introduction I said righteousness is like a license.
Yeah.
Right? So you are accepted, you go through the traffic police because you've shown your license. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So righteousness is being accepted by God. Genesis, let's look at the scripture. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. This is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That verse talks about righteousness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. That's where we will look at holiness, sanctification. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before this verse, okay, go to verse 10. Let's see, so that we put the scripture in context. 9. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I like this verse because it really shows how righteousness is your license to go to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To enter heaven. So he begins by saying, do you know that the unrighteous, which means if you don't have the righteousness of God, you will not go into heaven. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, no extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now we're coming to our verse. And such were some of you. Amen, amen. I say amen to this one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But what has happened? But you have been, you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified, declared not guilty.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This is how you attain holiness.
Yes.
So righteousness and holiness are two different things. Psalm 145, verse 17. This, when I first read this psalm, I was touched. I started trying to figure out. It says, Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, the way he does things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is this King James?
Okay.
King James said, and his works are holy. So, the way he does things is righteous. What he accomplishes, his works are identified by the holiness. They are set apart. The works that God does are set apart for him. People will even know and take notice. Yes, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. You are the work of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has set you apart. Amen.
Amen.
And he comes to you. He functions through you. Through his righteousness, which he has made available to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we did last week, we looked at, I said, seven things you need to know. So I'm taking these seven things. Today I'll also show you seven things you need to know about righteousness. Number one, it's a gift. That's the first thing that you should know, that righteousness is a gift. A gift you receive. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 17, which says, if by one man's offense death reigned, how much more? For if one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So if you receive the gift of righteousness with the abundance of grace, we already received the abundance of grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the next thing is you receive the gift of righteousness, then you will reign in life. You will be masters in life. In whatever you do, in your workplace, in your business, in your school, you will be masters.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will reign. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you will reign.
You will reign.
Amen.
Amen.
So this gift is given through exchange. Romans 5, verse 9. Romans 5, verse 9. So it's a gift, but it was paid for. Hallelujah. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So we are saved from the judgment. And this salvation, that's why salvation is a gift that God has given you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Quickly, number two. Righteousness is imputed. I also try to use another word, creditable. I found the word creditable to be more convenient because I think all of us have bank accounts. When your bank account is credited, you hear an SMS, then you check. It tells you there's a credit. Hallelujah. That's how righteousness functions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, about Abraham, the father of faith. The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's why I'm saying it's like it was credited to his account because he believed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The moment you believed in Jesus Christ, it was credited to your account.
Amen.
That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three, this one is a difficult one. It might be a difficult. You don't grow in righteousness. That's why I'm saying it's a very difficult one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll try to explain. And God help me.
Amen.
Let your people understand. 1 John 2, verse 29. Righteousness is the nature of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have human beings. By nature, you are human. Hallelujah. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I've taken the scripture because it's talking about born of him. So I'm giving you an example of human beings. If you have a child, the child is a baby, right? Then he starts growing. Then one day he starts walking. Another day he starts speaking. My question to you, by walking, do you say that he's becoming more human? He's human 100% when he was born. He's just developing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the day you were born again, 100% righteous.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The guy who comes from the bar today and Pastor Amos prays for him, he receives Jesus 100% like Pastor Amos.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What we need to do is to become more like Jesus. Mm. Let Holy Spirit help us to become more like
Jesus.
So no one can search your righteousness. You are 100%. If the devil comes and tries to whisper to you lies, tell him, I heard from church today, I'm 100% righteous.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think it has gone well. I was a bit scared. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6 verse 18. Now this righteousness, it's funny. This one is another interesting one. Chapter 6 verse 18. Romans 6 verse 18. Because you were slaves to sin. You know you can become a slave to sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the day you received righteousness, you've become a slave of righteousness. The Bible says, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. So when you do things you don't want, but the Bible tells me I should do this, you've become a slave. You are angry. You find your fire extinguished as you. You calm yourself down and behave that you're not angry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've become a slave of righteousness. I see slaves of righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's number four. Number five. Righteousness attracts God and blessings. Psalm 34 verse 14 and Proverbs 10 verse 6. Let's go to Psalm 34, verse 14. Hallelujah. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The next verse. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So if you're righteous, the eyes of God are on you.
Amen.
The Bible says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro on the face of the earth, seeking whose heart is right with God. So you have a right standing with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God will be looking for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Quickly, let's go to Proverbs 10, verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked.
Amen.
So blessings are on your head. Hallelujah.
Amen.
if you receive righteousness, blessings are on your head. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Number six, righteousness protects and delivers you. We go back to Psalm 34, verse 19 to 22. Psalm 34. So righteousness will deliver you.
Amen.
One of the early scriptures that I learned was this one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers from them all.
Yes.
So, the righteous are afflicted.
Amen.
And the Bible says there are many.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, don't start doubting your faith. Because the afflictions are not ceasing. Because the afflictions are many. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Oh.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God will deliver you out of all your afflictions.
Amen.
Because you have that license. Because you have that identity.
Mm-hmm.
That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think that was number six. The final one. Isaiah 42, verse 6. Why does God take his righteousness and gives it to us and credits it to us and God blesses us? Hallelujah. It is for his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are the righteousness of God for his glory.
Amen.
I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah 61 verse 3 talks about trees of righteousness. Isaiah 61 verse 3. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So you are trees of righteousness on the face of the earth. Why has God planted a forest of righteous trees? Trees of righteousness. It's for his glory.
Amen.
I have said, it has come to my thought that when we talk about the glory of God, where does the glory of God manifest? The glory of God does not manifest in a tree. It manifests through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are his, I would call you, you are his gadget of glory.
Amen.
So this must sink into your mind. When certain things happen, in the first, it will look like you are being embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God is preparing you for a greater glory.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it must sink in our minds that we are trees of his righteousness. We are here for his glory. So no matter what happens, no matter what people say about us, hallelujah.
Amen.
One day, his glory will manifest.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm, the popular Psalm, Psalm 23 verse 3, talks about you lead me in paths of righteousness. For what? For his name's sake. So we read the Psalms like newspaper. We do a marathon on the Psalms. Eh? But he is saying, the Bible is saying, he restores my soul. me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is a good prayer point. Every day, Lord, as I rise today, as I go to work, as I go to business, as I go to school, Father God, lead me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God can lead you.
Amen.
An example is coming to my mind. My wife runs business. She sells baby clothes. This week, I think God guided her in paths of righteousness. Because she's doing a promotion. So she has advertised. Oh, come. Then that day she did not go to her shop. She has two shops, one in Area 2, the other one is at Olympic Mall. So people came to the shop in Area 2. Fierce looking people, according to the shop attendants. And they asked, where is the owner of this shop? She has two shops, where is she? They came to the shop, they didn't buy anything. She's not here, we hear sometimes she doesn't stay here. Where is she? Okay, we're going to the other shop. And they went to the other shop. They didn't find her still. She wasn't there. She was absent. But what God was thinking was, according to the shop attendants, these people looked like thieves. But they didn't steal anything from the shop. But they were looking for her. I don't know where they got the information that she has two shops. They went to the two shops, but they didn't take anything. But they came even in a car, I'm wondering. They sped off fast to the other shop, they didn't find, they went back. So we were wondering, what is it they were looking for? Hallelujah.
Amen.
They didn't come to the shop to steal. Maybe to steal from her. I don't know what information she had. They had. Hallelujah. So I'm just giving that example. As an example that God leads you in paths of righteousness. He protects you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to put our trust in him.
Yes.
He will lead us the right way.
Yes.
So we need to pray. I know it's always difficult to pray in the morning, but pray.
Mm.
It's okay even when you're rushing. Pray.
Amen.
At least pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just ask him to direct you that particular day.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the ministry of righteousness. 2 Corinthians, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 5 to 9. In this portion of scripture, there is a contrast of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was based on the law. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The old covenant is referred to as a covenant of condemnation because it was a very high standard. Man could not attain it. By default, man was condemned. So it's referred to as ministry of condemnation in the old covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant.
Amen.
So if you are doubting that, hey, what the pastor is teaching today, I'll just listen. But it's difficult to. Please don't run away like the disciples of Jesus we saw there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's saying, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, now it's referred to as a ministry of death, because in the Old Testament you sin, you die. So he's saying, but the ministry of death, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious. Hallelujah. So that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. So when Moses went to meet God and get the Ten Commandments, when he came back, his face was glowing with glory.
Amen.
He was sparkling to the extent that the children of Israel could not look at his face. He had to put on a veil. Remember that one on a wedding day. Hallelujah. Let's continue. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation, this is what I was referring to, the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's a whole ministry of righteousness. That's how God takes righteousness seriously. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are in the dispensation of grace. Amen.
Amen.
We are the church. And this thought came to me today. I discovered and I said, okay, so why the church is God, the body of Christ. No wonder we are the righteousness of God in
Christ.
Because we are the body. We are part of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we are going to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Another controversial scripture. I want to talk, I'm continuing talking about condemnation. Trying to inculcate in you the righteousness consciousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that it sinks in you. Romans chapter 8 talks about life through the Spirit. So your life, you have your life through the Spirit. You are a spirit being. You have a soul and you live in a body. But you are spirit. Life is spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Most people stop there. But there's a qualification. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
So you can be in Christ Jesus, but if you're walking in the flesh, there is condemnation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, your righteousness is closely linked with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You cannot do righteousness without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll talk about the Holy Spirit next week. Let's continue. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now you see here, he's talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there is a law, hallelujah,
amen,
which says you have life through the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. So you are free from that law. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. I think last week we talked about why Jesus was born of a virgin. Because here it's saying God sent his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As a substitute for sinful man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible is saying what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did it. So, in other words, what the law failed to do, God, in devising his strategy to save us, did not necessarily abandon the law. He did not turn back on what he had already put in place, but he fulfilled it through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So what we could not do,
amen,
Jesus did it for us.
Amen.
That's why we qualify to be called the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 4. Oh, we stopped there. Let's see verse 4. So it's just explaining what I've just said. That the righteousness requirement of the law, because the law required that you be righteous,
amen,
that you have right standing with God.
Yes.
So all those sacrifices, hallelujah.
Amen.
If you read the Old Testament, I say, oh, thank God I came in the new covenant.
Amen.
The requirements, too much sin offering. Hallelujah. Atonement. What? So all those, Jesus has, those requirements of the law have been fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, let's walk according to the Spirit. The flesh will always entice us. This is nice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The temptations will always come. But we ought to walk according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, walk according to the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are moving, eh? Righteousness prepares us for the future. Because we are not just talking about here. As we said, we'll check out one day. We'll check out one day. The Bible talks about a crown of righteousness. in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. This crown of righteousness will be handed out to certain believers, not all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
At the judgment seat of Christ, together with maybe other crowns. This crown is a winner's crown. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is given to all those who look forward to his return. Those who fight the good fight of faith, who have finished the race, who have kept the faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So our topic is righteousness by faith. So you keep the faith, you get a crown of righteousness.
Amen.
Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So, if you're interested in getting this crown of righteousness, you should be preparing for his appearing.
Amen.
For his second coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second thing I found is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 to 8. A cloth of righteousness. So there's a crown of righteousness. There is a cloth of righteousness. From verse 6 to 8. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 19 says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." So it's about a marriage. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So at the end of it all, this is the marriage of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
So the bride, remember, the bride is the church.
Mm.
We are the church.
Mm.
So the Bible is saying that dressing for the wedding dress, hallelujah,
Amen,
for this marriage of the Lamb is the righteous acts of the saints.
Amen.
Remember, you are the saints. You are God's people being perfected.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So your acts, what you do, remember when we defined righteousness, we said it also manifests in your acts.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in your acts, you are preparing for the marriage of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what should we do? I'm drawing to a close for this one now. What should we do? The answer is you must submit to God's righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are kind of two types of righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 to 4. Romans chapter 10 says, "For being ignorant of the righteousness of God," I've taken this scripture deliberately. which means you can be ignorant of the righteousness of God. The Bible says, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next verse, let's see the next verse. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. So there were some people who were still clinging to the law. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's saying those who were still clinging to the law, they were following their own
righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm sorry to say this. When you read the Old Testament, find the final revelation in the New Testament. Because you run the danger of getting stuck and establishing your own
righteousness. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let the Spirit of God guide you, enlighten you,
amen,
take you where God wants you to be. And where God sees you, you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 is talking about the same thing. He says, and maybe let's start from verse 8. Let's not start with and. Verse 8. You indeed also count all things lost for excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by
faith.
So we receive the righteousness which is from God. We receive it by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't go to school to get a certificate of this righteousness. It is by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, at the end of it all, I would define righteousness as the nature of God, which when it is imputed onto human beings, it makes them stand in the presence of God without any sense of inferiority, condemnation, or guilt. Righteousness should give you confidence to approach God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To know that you and God are one.
Mm-hmm.
To know that God is depending upon you for his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to be ready to be used by God for his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.